Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing tonight? We're going to be teaching tonight out of Numbers chapter 35. And before I get into there, I felt something on the way as I was driving over here that the Lord wanted me to share. I know that there's often this talk in the church and in the people that the Lord says this, the Lord spoke that, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me to do that and do this. And years ago when we were at the boys club and the circle that was there before the message of the cross came, there was much of that. There was much of God had promised me I was going to get a house, and God said I was getting this job, and God said this and this and this. And I was one of the ones I felt totally outside the circle because I never felt like the Lord was said anything to me. I never heard this thing that they were talking about, this voice that kept speaking and telling them how to live their life. And at times I felt condemned. I felt, was I even saved? Was this a sign that I wasn't even in the faith? And when the message of the cross came, I finally heard the word of God speak. Not the word of God speak. I finally heard a voice speak. And I knew it was the Almighty from the very throne of God. And what he said to me was not anything of a promise of what I was going to get materialistically or what I was going to have. But he said something to identify me as who I was. And I was reading the book of Hosea at the time and studying it. And I was reading how Hosea went to go marry the prostitute Gomer. And when he had married her, she turned back and went away from him again, back into prostitution. And then the Lord told him to go back and buy her back. And he carried with him the bag of silver that contained the price of redemption to buy Gomer back to himself. And I was reading this and I fancied myself as I wanted to be like a Hosea, going out and finding the lost and finding the people. I saw Gomer as a type of Israel. But the first time I heard the Lord say, speak in my heart, and I knew it was the voice of the Almighty. He didn't promise me anything. He didn't promise me wealth or riches. He said three words, and I'll never forget, and I pray to God I never forget it till the day I die. He said to me, you are Gomer. The first time I heard the Lord say anything to me was to tell me I was Gomer, a spiritual prostitute, a spiritual adulterer who had left the good man and gone back to defile themselves and the workings of the flesh by the law and the regiment that I was trying to live to God. And it blew me away, and it was like piercing my very heart, because this had been nothing like I'd heard the people talk about in a circle. How they had heard God say this, and God promised them this, and God is doing this, spoke this, and God speaks to me the first time, and praise God, he said what he said. Because I knew it was the love of the Father that told me, you are Gomer. Because I was beginning to think that I was something that I was not. And I want to say to you tonight that you are Gomer. I don't care how long in the message of the cross you have gone or how much you think you might know. You need to know tonight, as I need to know tonight. Once again, God's saying, you are Gomer. And Jesus Christ is the heavenly Hosea that is coming to you with redemption price to show you once again, I have provided the means back to me. It's powerful, because hearing all these things and thinking the time, that period of time, how crucial it was that God said that to me, I believe it saved my soul. At a time I was beginning to think myself something, beginning to think myself as somebody that was of worth, and I was going to do these great things, and the types in the Bible that I associated myself with, David slaying Goliath, all the great types was me, but God was showing me in the Word of God, no, you're Gomer, you're Rahab, you're the harlot that's got to hang that scarlet thread out his window. And today I want to preach out of the book of Numbers about the law concerning the slayer. Because it's important that when the types are given in the Word of God, that you don't look at them in the Old Testament and say, it doesn't apply to me. Or I read that and say, I'm not guilty of that. I didn't do that. So I can move on by. You're missing the total spiritual depth and the teaching that the Word of God is about to show. But I want to say tonight, God right now, in these last days, is looking for Gomers. The message of the cross is the heavenly Hosea, with showing the redemption's price, going through the dark streets of this country and this world and the alleyways and the tribes and the deep cellars saying, I've come for you and I have the price to purchase you back. God's looking for Gomers tonight. He's looking for those that know they've left, and he's looking to show them. Will anyone believe that the cross has provided a perfect means back to God? The Holy Spirit groans throughout the world, moving to and fro, trying to find a heart that will just simply believe that God has provided the price to save, sanctify, deliver, and heal. Will anyone in these last days believe that Jesus Christ truly, truly provided it all? I feel it strong tonight. You got to understand, God's not looking for somebody who's cleaning themselves up. He's not looking for somebody who's just all of a sudden thought, I'm finally going to get rid of everything. He's looking for a Gomer. Gomer was a prostitute that left the good man. That left to seek out her own flesh and desires. Then it was Israel, but now it's us today. God's saying, I want the Gomers. The heavenly Hosea, Jesus Christ, is saying, I have redemption's price, and I want Gomer back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the broken heart. I heard that when God spoke that, the message of the cross had come to me. I did nothing to search for it. I did nothing. It was brought to me. Just as Hosea went through the dark streets of Jerusalem and found the prostitute that he had bought originally and left, and showed her the silver that he had the means to buy her back. And when I heard that name, I knew, I heard, felt it in my heart. And God said, you are a Gomer. You're a Gomer, Evan. And you've always been a Gomer. But I have the means. And I want you back. And I want to buy you back. And I want to, and once again, have a covenant relationship, regardless of the way you've lived or how far you might have turned from me. And in these last days, this message of the cross is going out to find the Gomers before the trump blows. I know that modern church is teaching, those that even teach the rapture teach, he's coming, so you better get your house ready. You better clean up your act. You better start getting rid of everything you're doing wrong. It's just lies and deceit from the pulpit. Because that wasn't Gomer. And God's looking for the dirty, vile sinner who admits what he is, admits what she is, recognizes when God says what they are, and the typology and the word of God applies to them today. If you're there in Numbers, I want to read this about the slayer, the law of the slayer. And I knew that that came from the Lord just on the way over, because this typology of the slayer, you read it and think, this is just for that day and age. How does it apply to me now? But I want to read it. I want to show to you that it does, that every man alive hearing my voice in the mind of God is a slayer. Numbers chapter 35. We're going to jump right into verse 22. This is dealing with the law of involuntary murder. Someone who kills somebody, and it was not premeditated, but it was accidental. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge. And the revenger of blood kill the slayer. He shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Lord God, we thank you so much tonight, Lord God, for another opportunity to preach the beloved message of the cross. Father, I'd ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come and minister. That, Lord God, we know they don't need me up here, Lord. They need the voice of the Almighty. And that, Father God, you would bring a message tonight and you would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and crucified, Lord. That, Lord God, you would bring it, the piercing sword of the Word of God and the truth of what Jesus has done into all the hearts listening tonight. Father, we thank you and give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. There was a law given, and this law of the slayer was an important law. It was found in three different books of the Bible. It's here in Numbers, it's spoken again in Deuteronomy, and then it's again in Joshua. In fact, as soon as they had crossed into the land of Canaan, they were immediately to build these six cities of refuge for the case of those that accidentally had killed somebody else and they had not done it intentionally. And as I said, you could read that and think, what in the round world does it have to do with us today? Because there was something that God is teaching us. He's something he's trying to show us. And when I read this, I believe the Lord has brought something to my eyes that he wants me to share tonight. The reason why I say that all of us are slayers is because you see something about humanity that God wants you to know about. That humankind can kill, though he does not desire to do so. That mankind is a destroyer, though he intends to help. That mankind can wipe a life off the face of the planet when he has his best intentions to help that person. In Deuteronomy, it gives the example of a man who goes with his neighbor to chop down a tree, and the tree falls upon his neighbor and kills him. The man that held the axe had no desire to kill the man. He had no desire to hurt him. In fact, he was helping him. But God's trying to show the sore, pitiful condition of the world. The sore condition of humanity is that humanity is a destroyer, even though on his best day he wants to help. Even though in his heart, deep down, he wants to help somebody. When he reaches out the hand of man to somebody, it is a hand of death. Humankind can kill when it wants to heal. Humankind can destroy when it wanted to help. And God wants the people to know tonight, this is us. This is the chaotic, unpredictable world that we live in, even within the people of God. God said, if you help somebody, or inadvertently you kill and take a life, that the family members of that individual, their blood would run hot for vengeance to take your life. And God had prepared a way that the moment the man was killed, that he could run for his life to a city of refuge. He could run to a place where the avenger of blood could not find him, could not take him down, could not strike him down, though he hurt somebody, he never wanted to do it. And as I mentioned with Gomer, it is with this typology as well, that every person alive is a slayer. Everyone has tried to help and has caused harm. Every one of us has tried to heal and we made it worse. Every one of us thought we could help somebody, but instead of words of life, we gave him words of death. I thought of my own feeble ministry before the message of the cross. When we taught our children, we taught nothing. In ignorance, and in darkened ignorance, never shared the need and the need of the atonement of Jesus Christ, but taught them things to do and feel good about themselves, and God loves them, but never showed them this message of the cross. I wanted to help them, but I was their worst enemy those days that I preached. No bigger fool could they have stood in front of them. Because I did not know the message of the cross. I did not understand then that it had to be faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ and crucified. I was a slayer. Pulpits across this country fall into this category. Men and women, though in their heart of hearts, want to help and heal. And really, I believe they sincerely they do. But because they don't understand the message of the cross, they are nothing but inadvertently causing harm and death and destruction because they do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and crucified. You've got to realize tonight what God is trying to show us. This is the world we live in. This is the unpredictable, chaotic position that humanity is. And it's to teach us that humankind can never be a savior. Humanity can never be a helper. He can never be a deliverer. No matter what is dreamed up in board meetings, no matter what comes from the pulpits, or what psychology, even as Robin preached today, the psychologist that started it all probably in his heart of hearts wanted to help people. But he unleashed one of the most savage and brutal, vicious causes of destruction known today. Death is what comes out of the human mind and the human heart. These are hands of death, though they desire to help. We can never be saviors. We are nothing but pitiful, wretched beings that have only one thing, one recourse to believe in, and only one thing to preach, and that is the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. One Gomer can't help out another Gomer unless she's telling him, wait here, because the heavenly Hosea is coming. That slayer would flee for his life to the cities of refuge. And the word of God said, you must abide there. And as we read tonight, if you even step foot out of there, out of that protection of that city, and one of the family members or kin or the avenger of blood sees you outside the borders of the city of refuge, he has by the right of God Almighty to take your life. And I thought about these men who, could you imagine Kirk killing your neighbor, running for your life, giving up family, giving up land, walking away from the congregation of Israel, having to go to these border cities. And there he would have to wait. There he would stay. And there was one event that had to occur before he could return. One single event had to take place before all the slayers could come back home. And that was the death of the high priest, the one anointed with oil. What does that say? It means that high priest typified the Lord Jesus Christ to come, the one who was anointed with the holy oil of God. Some get mad that we preach the cross and emphasize only the cross, and the death of Christ as means, as the access point to come back to relationship with God. We don't do it for no, we don't just make that up. But here you read in Scripture that the slayers, in order for them to come home, there had to be a death. Not just the death of any man, but the high priest, the only one who had access into the Holy of Holies when he brought the blood of the sacrifice. Some say the message of the cross is doom and gloom. Let me share something with you. In Israel, when the high priest died, there would be mourning over the death of the high priest. But what do you think the slayers were doing in the border cities? They could not see him die. Someone had to tell them. Someone had to come across their path and say, the high priest is dead. Do you think he was mourning? He was rejoicing in his heart. Because when I heard that the high priest had died, that means I could come home. When somebody told me, did you hear that the priest, the high priest of God has died? That means I can come home. You think that we preach doom and gloom? I'm telling you, the cross is rejoicing if you understand your position as a slayer before God. There's no greater joy than the death of Jesus Christ. When I heard, it's just, when all I heard was it's just only the cross. The only thing that had to happen was the Lamb of God had to die. And you read verses like this, just tucked in and hidden in the sovereign word of God, and testifies to what we're preaching, that says it has to be a death, one single death. And when that death happens, man, you can come home. Jesus has died, that means I'm a free man. All claims of vengeance, all claims of wrath, all claims have been satisfied by that death. When he got news, when the slayer got news that the high priest had died, he could walk out of that city of refuge and no longer fear any man. He no longer had to fear the avenger of blood that would come after him and take his life. It's a type of the vengeance of God, that even though man kills and it's not premeditated, it's still the shed blood of the innocent. And God demands payment for that. And payment was made at Calvary. When we sing the song, Calvary covers it all. It covers the sins that you meant it, that you wanted to do. And it covers the sins that you did and you never even wanted to go that way. Calvary covers it all. Jesus has died. I'm a free man. Free. Free to walk out and go home. Free to go back to the congregation of God. Free to experience the glory of the Lord once again. Why? Because the high priest has died. Did he have to wait? Did he have to confess anything? Did he have to confess anything? All that he had left, all that he had fled from, everything that he had, he got it all back. All he had to do. You see, it was a test of his faith. Because someone was going to have to tell him the message. Because he couldn't see the high priest. The high priest was in Jerusalem. And he was in a border city. So somebody would have to tell him. And when he heard the message that the high priest had died, he had to believe by faith the word of God. He had to believe in his heart what the law said. And he said he was free to go home. He ran for his life. But when he heard the message of the cross, it was time to go home. Faith walked out of that city of refuge. Faith walked back to Jerusalem and said, I'm able to go back. Why? Because anything I did, was anything I'd done, or was it, doesn't matter how much he prayed or read, did anything significant on his lifestyle at all. It doesn't even explain that. All it says is, when the high priest dies, he was alive to come back home. Hallelujah. That song that we sing, there's been a lot of wasted years, but I'm coming home. Why am I coming home? Because Jesus died. I love the word of God. I love the word of God because it just becomes so simplified. It just becomes so simplified to simply say that all the clamor and all the complication that the modern church comes up with, all the schemes and the programs that you got to do, and you just go back into the Word of God. You can just sit down for a little while and read the Word of God, and it can simply tell you where freedom lies. Simply tells you where deliverance is. Simply tells you where all fear, doubt, and worry ends. And it just simply says, when the high priest dies. One event, one thing had to happen for every slayer to come home. And everyone that had ran and fled for his life, for his actions that he did, for the hurt and the harm that he caused, that he never intended to do. You see how desperately you need what Jesus has done. That even though you may not say, I didn't really want to cause anybody harm, the harm that you did do, God still demands payment for. And how are you going to pay that? Do you see how beautiful here Israel is under the law that it was all about grace even then. Grace said, run to the refuge. Grace said, wait. And when the high priest dies, you come back home. Now you think about that. If you were a young man and the high priest, you did that. It killed somebody inadvertently at a young age. That high priest could live 30, 40, 50 years waiting and waiting and waiting, never be able to see his homeland, never be able to see his family. And some of you tonight, the message of the cross is here. Some of you tonight are the slayers waiting in the cities of refuge. God has kept you there by his grace. You have fled and ran. And he's kept you there. Now he's here to tell you tonight. The high priest has died. It's time to come home. That what you needed to happen happened 2,000 years ago. You just finally needed someone to get up and tell you about it. Jesus has died. And there's freedom tonight. Freedom at last. But ever when you read the Old Testament, these types that God preserved through these countless centuries for us today, this day and age to read, it's always in the flesh of man to simply say, this does not apply to me. Or like I said, we fancy ourselves as the great men of faith, and those are the types that resemble us. But God's here tonight to tell you that we are the slayers. And news has to come. News has to come. The message has to come again. That the one anointed with oil, Jesus Christ, who said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, him and him alone, his death was the only thing that stood between you and a relationship in the presence of Almighty God. And I believe this is also a great type of all the souls that had died before Christ had died, because they were put in Abraham's bosom and there below the depths of the earth in a place called paradise awaiting. They were put in a refuge until one event occurred. One single event had to occur before all the souls that had believed in Christ and what he would do. And when he died, praise God, when the high priest anointed with oil died, they all went home. How powerful is the cross? How powerful is this message of the cross? Here in the Old Testament, hidden, being revealed in these last hours as the power of the Holy Spirit moves and operates through the message of the cross to teach people that this is a timeless, eternal message. Not drudged up by some people. Not some cult just going off on its own tangent. But that we who preach Christ crucified are perfectly aligned with the Word of God by every jot and tittle. And those that believe in Jesus Christ and crucified satisfy every demand that the law of God has. Those that murder premeditatively are still can be saved by Jesus Christ. And those that cause harm and hurt, and though they didn't even know they were doing it, saves them as well. One death saves all. One death sanctifies all. One death delivers. And it breaks my heart, and you listen to the preaching of the modern church. Some will get tired of hearing us again and again slam the modern ministries. But I can't. How can you get not angry when you put yourself in a position as one who was a slayer and had fled for his life, and he's waiting, waiting to go home, and some bozo had come past his way and told him, yeah, the high priest died, but you got to clean yourself up before you go back. Sure, the high priest has died, but you still got to do something on your end. How wicked is that? How it violates the Word of God to say it's the cross and then add your own little deal on it. As Mark said tonight, you got to try to detach the cross and the resurrection together. When the man, the slayer, heard the high priest died, that's all he had to hear. That's all he had to know. The high priest has died. My days are over. My days pressed back are gone. Finally, I am free to fear nothing as I walk back to the presence of God. What would that kind of teaching do to a man then? He would have believed a lie over the word of God. He would have forfeited his freedom to go back, to remain where he was. And he would not have experienced the freedom and the grace of God that the Lord so desperately wanted to give him. So what do we say about such teaching? How can he look at it any other way than it is a complete violation and perversion of the word of God? How can you read that text tonight and come away with anything? What is it showing? When the high priest died, freedom of the Lord is there. When the high priest dies, the Spirit of the Lord is there to move and operate and exist in that individual's life. But you tag anything to the death of the high priest, you add any label, you staple any little sticky note to that, and that is the most diabolical thing you can do, because he was right there. The greatest perversion of the word of God is that runs right along the message of the cross and then adds its own little tag to it. Because they were almost right there to grasp hold of the grace of God. But one iota of man, one thing that man puts on the message of the cross, faith and the shed blood of the Lamb and that alone, he has just now frustrated the grace of God. As Robin talked in Bible college, he just kinked that hose of grace that could flow to that believer's life. How important were those messengers that went to those cities? How important it was to get the word out about that death. As I said, there was those in Israel who would have mourned, who would have saw the death of the high priest as a sad thing, as a negative thing, something that you shouldn't talk about, something you shouldn't focus, something that shouldn't be the object of you, of your faith, and be talked about. But to him that was waiting to go home, to him that had done something that had caused harm to another, and he wanted to go back. He feared for his life to ever come back to the congregation of Israel when he heard the news that the high priest has died. There was not mourning in his heart. There was not sorrow. But he knew the doorway, the gate, the window had just been opened, and he was now finally a free man, finally by the death, because the anointed one had died. And he didn't have to wait around for any other bit of news after that. He had heard all he needed to hear. And if you've heard the message of the cross, and you have been told unto you that it is faith in what Jesus has done and that alone, you have heard all you need to hear. You've heard the teaching of the Lord. You've heard the very wisdom of God poured forth, spoken through defiled lips of men. You see, the beautiful thing about preaching is the preaching of the message of the cross couldn't even been done until that high priest died. Because when the high priest died, that allowed the presence of the Almighty Spirit of God to flow within men. And they were now able to preach the cross of Christ like never before. But somebody has to tell the people about this death. Somebody has to tell the people about the death, the death, the one death that matters, the one event that matters, that through all history, nothing ever surpasses or eclipses the death of Jesus Christ. It is the one and only thing. Nothing can assert to it. Nothing can rise to its grandeur and glorification. Nothing is more glorious to God than the death of his only begotten Son. As Isaiah cried, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? So we the Gomers, could come back. So we could be purchased by God and not have to do anything except believe it. And there are those that are hearing the message of the cross, but they're choosing not to believe it. And they're saying in their heart, and they're saying that there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And they remain a slayer under the eyes of God. They remain in that position of one that rejected grace. And this ministry, raised up by the grace of God, to claim in the last days, nothing that we've done, nothing of ourselves, but entirely based upon the grace of God, that in the last hour he would flood the land and the airwaves and the internet saying, the death of the high priest is here and you are free. Wherever you have been, wherever you are at, wherever you have gone, wherever you have fled from, whatever you have done does not matter, because the one thing that had to happen has happened. So what is stopping you? What is holding you back from being just that slayer, hearing the news, the good news of the Anointed One's death? When he heard that news, he looked at where he was at and said, I'm out of here. I'm going to head on home. And I don't have to fear vengeance, and I don't have to fear the wrath of another. I don't have to fear the wrath of God anymore. I don't have to fear that they wanted to take my life. It was right to take my life. It was right to destroy me. But now I've heard the news. I've heard the high priest has died. And now I'm a free man, and I can walk and believe and be confident that the word of God says I am free by faith in the death of my heavenly high priest. I tell you, we preach this message of the cross, how God just wants you to rest and believe. And I tell you, men are working overtime to try to say the word of God doesn't teach the message of the cross through every single page of the Bible. What do you do with this? What do you do with this slayer mentioned, as I said, in three different books of the Bible given unto us? What do you do with that if it not pertains to the cross? When it says three times in the very verses I read tonight, when the high priest dies, when the high priest dies, when the high priest dies, when that event happens, then there is a result of that death. Freedom to all. Freedom to all who have ran. Freedom to all who have feared the wrath of God. Freedom. There is now no longer any condemnation for those who walk in Christ Jesus. That unto God, when that individual believed in the news, and when today you believe in the message of the cross, you are inserted into the death of that high priest. And God looks at you as one who has paid the judgment for being a slayer. There's nothing that he looks at you any other way than completely justified, because in his mind you have died with the sacrifice. You have died with that high priest, and therefore you are dead. What can you extract in regards to judgment to a dead man? Can you kick a dead man? Can you hang a dead man? You see, the freedom of God is in your death. The spiritual death that you died with Jesus Christ on the cross. And you may not have known at the time, but that's why you were so liberated and felt the joy of the Lord when you were born again, because he had just struck. The wages of sin, his death, had just been satisfied because you believed in what Jesus had done. My friends, that's a plan. God has made it so, so easy for us. It's the most easiest plan in the world, yet it is the hardest for humanity to get. Because we don't ever want to believe that we're the slayers. And we don't want to believe that we're the gomers. But you got to understand, the Lord is trying to show you who you are so that you'll understand what you need. You see, that time period in my life, had I heard what the other people had heard, if I had believed in the sayings that God is telling me, I'm getting this or I'm getting that or I'm going to have this. I thank God that I never heard anything until that day when I was told what I was. I thank God what kind of spiraling path would I've gone on had the enemy whispered in my ear what I was going to receive or what I was going to have if I do this or if I followed or if I confess this or if I believe this. It was silence until that day as the message of the cross was being taught to me and preached to me when I heard the word of God, when I heard the Almighty speak deep into the recesses of my heart and tell me that I was the spiritual adulterer that he was coming to find. I was the gomer in the alleyway that he was coming with the message of the cross to pull me out of the bondage of religion, to save my soul. And tonight he's once again, as I was studying this once again, as I said, it's so important that the typology may not confuse, as it's so easy in our flesh to think that the negative types are the ones that don't apply to us. But we are slayers. Humanity is a slayer. He all he can do is cause death, even when he wants to do good. And that there's a refuge, and that something has been done, an event has happened that will enable you to not fear the condemnation and not fear the wrath and vengeance of God for all the wrong that you have done. And only if you believe in the death of the high priest, Jesus Christ. Only when you look to God's only begotten and his sacrificial atonement and you believe that, only then is the way completely clear for you to come home and enjoy fellowship and a continual, everlasting fellowship with God. It grieves my heart that this message just isn't there anymore. 4 or 5 years ago, I remember thinking, no one preaches this message. My friends, in this day and age, it's gotten even narrower. It's gotten even narrower. Even the ministries that have heralded the message of the cross, and we thought stood for it, we're beginning to see now the slow fade of trusting in flesh, of adding something to what Jesus has already accomplished at Calvary. To come up and drudge up terminology that says to the believers that there's something you do, or there is the pursuit of righteous living, to that there's... It came so clear to me when I read this text. So clear. So unbelievably clear. When the high priest dies, he just said stop. He said stop and set the Bible down. And just said, praise God. Because even then, after all these years, he's still prone to wander. Still prone to look another way. Still enticed by something that the goofiness of the modern church is doing. Still believing that somehow there's some shred of truth amongst all the filth that they spew out upon television and radio. But then once again, you read the Holy Word of God, and the Spirit of God once again just comes down and presses you into the straight gate again. Speaks deep into your heart when the high priest dies. The slayers can go home. Who knows how many I've hurt? Who knows how many people through deed or word that we tried to help over all these years, and we were nothing but a hindrance. We were nothing but destruction to them. Maybe you've never thought about that. But we read from the law that the shed blood of the innocent still requires a payment for that. And though God would say at that time they were not worthy of death, He gave them the chance to run to the refuge. Still gave them the chance to run and told them, when you get to that city gate, you better not come out until the high priest dies. If you'd stick a toenail outside the borders of that city of refuge that I have prepared for you, and you even remotely leave that place, you are, by that moment in time, to be struck down by the avenger of blood. It reminded me, I thought about it, Israel, as they applied the blood to the door, and when the death angel came that night, if any part of that person was peeking outside the door, their firstborn would have been struck dead that night. They had to be entirely, all of them, put behind the bloody door. And you must be beyond that refuge that is Christ and crucified. You must be in that refuge. But the news has come now. The grace of God has kept you till this point in time tonight to tell you that the high priest has died. And now there's nothing you need to fear. There's nothing you need to doubt or worry about. There's nothing you need to be afraid of from this point and on. Why? Because Jesus has died. Isn't it awesome? You don't have to look at yourself as a power source and as a means of accomplishing anything, but you can believe the message. You can believe the power of the Holy Spirit that says to you tonight, Jesus has died. Therefore, if you believe, you are free. That the weight of the world and the doubts of tomorrow can wash away. Because what did a man in that time period have anything else to fear than other than his own life? And when his own death had just been obliterated, that he was finally set free, he was acquitted of the blood, the innocent blood that he had accidentally shed. You talk about condemnation. You talk about fear. Knowing the family of the kin of that people wanted to take his own life. When he realized when that weight was gone, when he heard the words, when he heard the message that the high priest, the one with the anointing oil full upon, had just died. He knew that those people, no matter how much they hated his guts or wanted his life, they could not touch him. He now heard that the condemnation that he felt had just been paid by the death of that high priest. He could walk with his head upright and be free and know in his heart and not doubt and worry about tomorrow. But he could walk back into the presence of God as if he had never did anything wrong ever before in his life. He was completely justified and acquitted of all wrongdoing that he had ever done. Jesus died. I'm a free man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, why are you so happy? Because Jesus died. My high priest life was taken, and therefore I can live. And it was only that death. It was only the message of that death that I needed to hear. And when I heard that message, when I heard the preaching of Christ crucified, when I heard that message, God said in my heart, you're free. You truly are justified. This is not just terminology that we just flamboyantly throw out there. Justification means just as if you had never sinned. Nothing can hold anything against your account. Nobody can hold anything against you. Nobody can point their finger at anything against you. You are freely forgiven, freely justified in the eyes of God because you believe in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight, but that is some good news. I've heard a lot of bad things in my day. I've said a lot of bad things in my day, but glory to God, I'm so thankful that we can preach the good news. So thankful you can come on a Sunday morning and hear the good news. That you don't have to leave that pea patch. Robin beautifully preached. That when you hear the message that the high priest has died, as that soul did, that when he walked, just like Robin spoke this morning, he didn't walk alone. He had the Almighty walking with him. He had the holy presence of God there, escorting him back. The high priest has died. You can go home. You can have fellowship with God. You can go to the congregation of God. You can experience the glory of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus has died. And the Holy Spirit is ushering this out. To bring it to the ears of people that so many in our day, so many fear and say, I can't go back. I can't. I've done so many things wrong. I've got to try to clean it up on my end. I've got to do something to get my life together before I can have fellowship with God. Nowhere is that found in the Bible. When I read the Bible, I see a death. Accounts the wrongdoer perfect righteousness. The death of the anointed one accounts him who has caused the death of others total justification. As I mentioned, we don't have any idea, at least for me, I'd have no idea what it would mean to accidentally take someone's life. And you can imagine that time period being in that situation. Wanting to have to run for your life and run, turn your back on everything that you ever had. And waiting and waiting and waiting until the good news came. Until that doom and gloom message came that said the high priest has died. And there was probably people who I said would have been mourning, but there was a couple fanatics that were ranting and raving about the high priest had just died. There was a few fanatics jumping up and down, singing praises to God when they heard the news that the high priest had died. There was a few that had probably looked a little bit cultish because they were jumping up and down over the fact of what had just, that a death had taken place. But not just any death, the death of the high priest, the only one who had access to the holiness of God, had just died. And therefore, I heard that news. I am able to as well go back and experience the presence of God Almighty without fear, without condemnation, without anything. I am absolutely liberated by the message of the cross. Free to experience the grace of God. Now let me stop here because I know you hear it all the time. In fact, I heard a song the other day on 91.5, free to be me. It's not what I'm talking about. This is not a license or a right to do whatever kind of whims you want to do or imagination you want to go with. This is a freedom to acquiesce into the presence of Almighty God based upon your faith. And you heard the news that the high priest has died. See, this is why I love this typology in the Old Testament, because these people were just like us. They had not seen him. They could not see that death. They never saw the death of the high priest. How could they? They were pushed away in the border cities.
Somebody had to tell them the message. And when they heard the message and they asked him, why are you going back? Aren't you afraid? Don't you fear the vengeance? Don't you fear the wrath of those assailants that want to take your life? He could say with all confidence, with all joy and rejoicing, with a skip in his step, no, I can go back to the presence of God because the high priest has died. That and that alone. Faith in Christ and crucified. Nothing else, nothing more. Fully, full provision by one single death. That single precious death of God's anointed on the cross has given me the freedom and the right to believe that and not have one single doubt or worry of whether or not I'm living right for God. I'm believing in the right object of faith. And therefore, I am perfectly satisfied. God is satisfied with me, and I am satisfied with God, because we both agree on the work of Jesus Christ. See, heaven knows what was given. Heaven understands the provision that was given at the cross. The problem is down here with us. The problem is in our deranged, dark minds as fallen human beings. We have an innate ability to want to dispel the truth of what occurred on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is ever trying to press us. That's why the Word of God is given to us, to ever try to show us again and again and again and again. Your life is due to a death. Your life hinges upon the death. And Jesus has died, and therefore all claims of wrath and justice have been satisfied. So there's nothing more to do but to believe in that which what has been done. Nothing. And fools, dogs, attach things to that work and say, there's more. In order to glorify themselves. But as I was studying and coming up with the Bible college concerning Levitical sacrifices, there's absolutely nowhere in that tabernacle event of the atonement of the sinner anything where the self could ever take credit for anything. Absolutely nowhere. Believe me, I've looked. And I know why. I know why now. That book of Leviticus is very rarely preached from today in the modern pulpits. Because if you study that book, I don't know how you can get around the fact that everything is about the atonement, the atoning death of the sacrifice, and the blood that was shed there for the behalf. There is absolutely nowhere where that sinner has room to boast. And there's nothing in the message of the cross where anybody can take credit for unless they begin to tag their terminology and they begin to add foolishness and says, you've got to figure out how to get from the cross to the resurrection. You've got to walk some bridge. Or find this great theological doctrine that has been hid between the cross and the resurrection. No, I only had to hear about the death. Resurrection was already a done deal. Someone had to tell me was that the high priest has died. And that alone. Mark, if you've got a song, I'm done. Praise the Lord. I hope you guys got something tonight. Let's end in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you. Over and over again, how the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God has taught us that it's all in what Jesus has done. Lord, I'd ask that this message go forth. I'd ask that you would sink, Lord God, the truth of your word into our hearts. That, Lord, we would believe in this great, beautiful, efficacious death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That, Lord, help us believe that it is truly enough, Lord. Help us sink it deep into our hearts, Lord God, that the high priest has died. And that is all that we've ever needed. That is all that we'd ever needed to hear. That was the only message, oh Lord God, that we ever needed to know to change our life and have fellowship with you, was that Jesus has died. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord God.
Amen.